Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Good morning!
Morning, D.A., how are you?
What's up, the anchor? Mission to enter the mothership, brother.
Ever heard a sports talk show like this before? Didn't think so.
What's going on, dirty, dirty?
It's D.A. on CBS Sports Radio.
D.A., how you feeling, brother?
Man, I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Monday, boys and girls. One question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
Well, that's all that really matters. And we appreciate being with us on this fine Monday morning. Coming your way in 20 minutes. One of the most interesting storylines in college football will happen on the plains this fall. Hugh Freeze returns to the SEC after a handful of years of success at Liberty. He is returning to the SEC front. Remember his success at Ole Miss, which ended in controversy, shrouded in probations and negated wins. Hugh Freeze has won everywhere he's ever been. Arkansas State, Ole Miss, Liberty. And now he tries his hand at Auburn. And Auburn is a place where politics can be involved in your coaching status, whether people like you, whether you have the right people on the inside that like you. Ultimately, winning does prevent some of those politics from absorbing you and crushing you, but they're always there. Ask Gus Malzahn. Ask just about anybody that's ever coached at Auburn. And so it is a tricky place to coach, but man, when you win, there ain't nowhere like it. And I would argue throughout all my travels around college football, perhaps the most college football, the most of the tradition and the ways that you associate what college football is with the sport, with the experience, with the crowd, with the tradition, with the all of the things that are woven into it. Perhaps nowhere better do you feel that, do you sense that, do you experience that than Auburn. It perhaps is the most prototypical college football experience in that it is distinctly Auburn. It is war eagle chants. It is live animals. It is the show, the pomp, the circumstance, the guys getting off the bus, walking into the stadium, the statues outside the stadium, the crowd inside the stadium. It is all so kind of like if you had an alien dropped on Earth and he said, please take me to college football, you'd be like, well, let me take you to a game on the plains. Auburn has all of these things that makes it so college football that it is a special place. There's no doubt it is special, but it is tricky. And so Hugh Freeze takes over an Auburn program that is desperately looking for a solution after the Brian Harsin implosion. And maybe Hugh Freeze, who won a lot of games at Ole Miss, and it's much harder to win at Ole Miss than it is at Auburn. They got national championships at Auburn, and recently, not so much at Ole Miss. Can he take Auburn to where they haven't been in the last couple of years, where they want to get back to in an SEC West that's loaded and stacked with Alabama, LSU, Texas A&M, the usual culprits, but an SEC in general that will look much different next year once you have Texas and Oklahoma join. So we'll talk to Andy Burcham, the voice of the Tigers, coming up here on the show in about 20 minutes from now. on the NFL front, I have been a Trey Lance backer. And I have been a Trey Lance backer in the face of much criticism and mockery. I have always felt like if Kyle Shanahan and the Niners coaching staff can get what they got out of Jimmy Garoppolo, physically limited, if they can get what they got out of Brock Purdy last year, limited experience, if they can get what they got out of this team the last 4 to 5 years with players that didn't have the same athletic skill set as Trey Lance, if they can get where they got without the quarterback being one of the most important pieces of the puzzle, what will they do with somebody with that type of arm and that type of mobility and those legs and that athleticism? Even if it's an experience, even if it was experience at the FCS level, even if he hasn't played a lot of football, what could they do with that? And I thought it was completely unfair last year when Lance went down with an injury early in the season, then people kind of used that as a, see, he sucks. I would have liked to see Lance the entire year. He was slotted as the starter last year. He was in there instead of Garoppolo. He didn't get the chance. Garoppolo then ended up taking over the reins, and they won a lot of games, and he got injured, so they bring in Brock Purdy. They won a lot of games, got all the way to an NFC championship game. I wanted to see what Lance was like under this play caller, with this running back, McCaffrey, with these weapons, Kittle and Debo, and that defense. Because I believed the entire time that with those assets, if the other guys could do it, he could do it. But I will admit right now that time is running short on Trey Lance. In his preseason opener yesterday, first time he was on the field since the season-ending ankle injury in week 2 of last year against Seattle, he was pretty awful right out of the chute. He went 3 consecutive 3-and-outs and took 3 sacks during those drives. He had a 4th possession in that game, which he led them to a touchdown, but it was the only score of the game for the 49ers as they got crushed by the Raiders 34-7. And nearly threw an interception in the end zone on the drive. Duke Shelley jumped the pass, looked like it was going to be picked off, deflected, and went for a touchdown, which was kind of a pretty lucky touchdown throw. I don't want to sit here and say something that I will regret later on because I was very high on Trey Lance, then suddenly jumped off the boat, and then everything that I originally felt comes to fruition. But I will tell you, time is running short on Trey Lance. And that throw into the end zone that was nearly intercepted, that should have been intercepted, was a pretty brutal read and throw. He has a receiver back of the end zone, but his receiver's covered. He's running left and has to stop and pivot because the pass rusher is coming onto him. And at that point in time, the smart play is not trying to get that throw off and in the middle of the field. It's tucking it and running or eating it to live to see another day because it's first and goal. Those are decisions that a young quarterback struggles to make, but he's not really a young quarterback anymore. He's now been in the system for a couple of years. And after everything that the Niners traded for him, he's going to have to get it here. He's going to have to get it and get it soon. I don't think, based on one preseason first quarter and the 3-and-outs, is Trey Lance is a bust, dump him, whatever, because there is no value to him right now in the open market anyway. There's no trade that you can make to recoup any of the draft picks. They've, I'm sure, already shopped around and tried it because they have Brock Purdy. But the Purdy situation hurts Lance even more. Because last year, pre-Purdy, Niners fans were looking at, okay, who's going to be the new franchise guy? And there was this understanding already that they had moved on from Garoppolo. He was on the roster as simply insurance, but he was not the future. And that is still the case. Garoppolo's gone. But now you have a young guy in Purdy who proved he has command over the offense and you can win with him. Whether it was a one-year anomaly, we'll see. But you have evidence that you can win and he can run the offense. So now Lance has to be that. He at least has to show he's capable of running the offense and deserving of a roster spot, because you also have Sam Darnold on the roster. And Lance, the time is running out for him to be at least productive. He does not have to be great. He does not have to be the savior of the franchise again, still, anymore, because you have Purdy. But you do need to be productive. And he's not that. He was not that yesterday. I think he has to play a lot in the preseason. I think the Niners have to give him reps. You have to see if that touchdown drive, there's more to that that he can build off of it. And that maybe knocking off rust, cobwebs. I mean, he was coming back first game action since last year, week two. So that's nearly a full year without having game action. You have to allow him some time to knock off the rust. And Purdy, you know, he's still dealing with the rehab after the injury anyway. So you have some space here. But yesterday's the first time where I'm starting to question, okay, maybe I'm totally wrong on this. And yeah, that's possible. I've certainly been wrong before. See the first segment of today's show. So, you know, it's possible that he's never going to get it. But he's got to start stringing together productive drives, touchdown drives, good plays, good decisions. Because time's running out. And at some point in time, the naysayers that never felt like he was going to work are going to have plenty of ammo. Which, FCS guy, barely played his final season in FCS, got to the NFL, has been lauded by the coaching staff of the front office as like, look at all the pieces we'll give up to get you, and not living up to it. And the pressure mounts and mounts and mounts. And the fact that they have both Purdy and Darnold, and that they have poo-pooed the idea that Purdy would be injured for much of this season, and that they brought in Sam, suggests that they don't have any faith in Trey Lance. And so Lance is now feeding into that when he's playing by not playing well. And that perhaps this was always a John Lynch mistake, and that Shanahan has realized early on he'll never get the offense, and such is life. We'll see. But yesterday was not a good start to the Trey Lance rehab season this year for San Francisco. Gordon tweets in, DA, enjoying the show. I'm back in New York for the week. First time listening at a normal time. Gordon from Vancouver. How about this? A triumphant return after Bob's Bar for Gordon in Vancouver, who had himself a day at Bob's. Gordon was the one who won the oil boil contest by coming from the farthest away, Vancouver. He nudged out Avery from the Bay Area by a couple of miles. And then he was the recipient of the wonderful prize of being to oil up with baby oil Pat Boyle's shirtless torso. And Gordon not only got into that, but told stories and tales the entire day of crazy anecdotes of years and lives gone by. He's the ultimate party guest because he brought his own alcohol, Crown Royal, drank it all day long, had the best time ever, in great spirits, down for anything, funny quips, funny jokes, and could regale you with stories like he was Teddy Roosevelt. I mean, he had these things that you were like, did that really happen to you? Like, Gordon in Vancouver has lived a million lives. In fact, so much so that after we posted pictures of him doing all these crazy things at Bob's Bar, I got a tweet that simply said, or actually it was a DM that simply said, hey, that's my dad, from one of his daughters. So Gordon in Vancouver, conquering hero, coming back to New York after the Bob's Bar circle of glory. When we come back here on the show, Andy Burcham's going to join us, voice of the Auburn Tigers. Year one of Hugh Freeze. How's it look? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The DA Show counts down the days until the electricity of college football season returns with the game's greatest voices.
It is tipped off. And Lewis got it on the deflection. Lewis is going to score. Lewis is going to score. Lewis is going to score. Touchdown over. Touchdown over. And a block from Brown. 50, 10, 5. Touchdown. 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 Dogs win it. We're headed to Atlanta.
Touchdown, Boston College. He did it. He did it. Flutie did it.
All the band is out. The Bears have won! Oh, my God! The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heart-rending, exciting, thrilling finish in the history of college football.
It's the sounds of Saturday, every morning on CBS Sports Radio.
Game's over. It's a touchback. Auburn wins! Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Pete fumbled into the end zone, trying to stretch out the ball, and he clearly fumbled. He clearly fumbled.
Win last year for Auburn as Missouri fumbled in overtime. The voice you hear is our next guest. He's been part of the Auburn Tigers broadcast team since 1995. He's the play-by-play voice of football, men's basketball, and baseball. Joining us here on the show is our friend Andy Burcham. Andy, good morning.
Morning, Damon. Getting ready on the plains. Getting ready.
It's a good time to be alive. Just a couple of weeks indeed from kickoff of the college football season. You can watch Andy as part of our telecast on both the Twitch feed and the YouTube channel, CBS Sports Radio, and watchda.com. Auburn will open up at home against UMass coming up Saturday, September the 2nd, and a new vibe is Hugh Freeze is on the sidelines of the Auburn Tigers. Tell me the early vibes from the new head coach.
Well, a lot of excitement. Auburn has sold out its season tickets for the first time ever. They've sold more season tickets going into this season. So there's a great deal of excitement on the plains. And really, since the time that Hugh Freeze was hired in November, he has gone about getting together his brand new staff and then revamping this roster. And say what you want about NIL, say what you want about the transfer portal, but it has allowed Auburn to completely revamp a roster that was in desperate need of doing that. And then what he has done with recruiting classes for 24 and 25 and just his past success, whether it be at Lambeth or Arkansas State, Ole Miss or Liberty, there's a great deal of excitement going into the 2023 season here at Auburn.
Is it because Auburn fans recognize that the lift at Ole Miss is heavier than at Auburn, and if he could do it at Ole Miss, then they've got confidence he can do it on the plains?
I just think it's his past because he's done it wherever he's been. Look what he did at Liberty in the last couple of years and bringing that program to new heights. Certainly what he did at Ole Miss, the fact that he did it in the SEC and that he did it in the SEC West, and he has a couple wins against Alabama under his belt. I think all of that goes into the excitement of what Auburn expects this season and expects for the future, not just this season, but beyond.
Any hesitation from part of the fan base or any observers because of the way that things ended for Hugh Freeze at Ole Miss with the NCAA?
I think everyone had to deal with that a little bit, and they came to their own conclusion on that. And there was some pushback when he was named the Auburn head coach. But in times that I've had with Hugh Freeze, and that's been limited because the man has been recruiting almost nonstop since the time that he was put in as Auburn's head coach, I think he's done everything he can to try and gain the trust of the Auburn family. And he said, listen, I am not owed anything. When he was hired, I am not owed anything. I will have to gain your trust. And I think he's done just that in his time at Auburn. He's been very present on campus and in different events as much as he can while trying to get ready for this season. So, listen, I mean, when that first loss comes, then we'll wait and see what happens at that point. But to this point, I think he has done a good job of gaining the trust of the Auburn family.
Andy Burcham is the voice of the Tigers, joins us this morning here on the show. I am really surprised to hear that Auburn has never sold out its season ticket allotment, that this is the first year. I mean, they've had a lot of great teams, a lot of great expectations. So that's pretty surprising. This is, you could argue, this is the year with the biggest expectations or the biggest optimism ever.
Yeah. They've sold out season tickets this year. There are still a couple games that have not been sold out as far as single season or single game tickets. But this is the first year that they've sold out their season tickets. It was a big push. I mean, this was one of the big ventures of John Cohen, Auburn's athletic director, and his executive staff coming in. So and Auburn had some more season tickets to sell because as it is in the SEC now, opposing teams aren't getting as many tickets per game. So there have been more season tickets to sell this year. So it's fun. It's funny. They're very, very excited.
The Brian Harsin era obviously never got off the ground, and there was a lot of criticism around him, and just everybody was kind of like agitated seemingly for a while. What was broken that needed to be fixed after Harsin left that Hugh was trying to get right?
I think one word: recruiting. Recruiting is the one area that Auburn had to do a much better job at. And that's what Hugh Freeze has done. He hit the transfer portal hard. There's well over 20 on this roster that will play perhaps in game one that were not here a year ago. And I'm not talking about true freshmen coming in. I'm talking about guys that were playing at Liberty and Appalachian State and Kentucky and Purdue and Western Kentucky in years past. So that's the big change for this year. But what he has done in getting ready for the 24 recruiting class and the 25 recruiting class gives Auburn fans as much hope as anything, because it wasn't done to the level that you have to do it in the Southeastern Conference. Listen, Alabama and Georgia recruit five-star players and then develop them. Everybody has to recruit and develop in the Southeastern Conference. And it's only going to get tougher next season when Texas and Oklahoma join the Southeastern Conference.
And there's a lot of talent in and around the state of Alabama. And so developing those relationships with high school coaches and, you know, people in the mix there is highly important. It always felt like, perhaps Harsin just kind of missed that part of the equation. Has Hugh been focusing on the immediate region around Auburn, or is he looking at the entire Southeast?
Both, and heavily both. Listen, remember, Hugh Freeze was a high school football coach at one point, a head high school football coach. So he knows what it's like to be on the other side of the picture here. And they've been everywhere. He and his staff have been everywhere. Recruiting and visiting and making themselves known at high schools, not only in the state of Alabama, but in Georgia and in Florida and Tennessee and Mississippi. It's what Coach Dye used to do. Listen, you're going to hear the similarities between any coach at Auburn and what Coach Dye did in the early 80s in building this program to what it is right now. And he was a relentless recruiter. And I've watched it. I've watched Hugh Freeze be a relentless recruiter. We did ambush tours in Nashville and Huntsville and LaGrange, Georgia and Atlanta. And when he wasn't on stage with me talking to folks there, there was a phone to his ear. He was talking to recruits constantly on the plane, even on the plane, in the cars, driving to and from. It has been nonstop for Hugh Freeze and his staff.
You got a lot of talent to come through some places that don't usually get that type of talent, like Ole Miss, like Liberty. So we'll see if it pays dividends, but sounds like he's on the right track already at Auburn. Andy Burcham is the voice of the Tigers. He joins us this morning on the show. I know you never want to get ahead of yourself, and you have some non-conference games, UMass, Cal, Samford, the first 3 weeks. Then you're at Texas A&M for Auburn. But, boy, to have Georgia come into Jordan-Hare on September the 30th, it's hard not to circle that game. I know that maybe the two programs are at different levels of growth right now, but how much anticipation is it to have Georgia come into Jordan-Hare this year?
Sure, and it's, you know, it's, we for Auburn folks, they know that Georgia is the oldest rivalry, Georgia-Auburn, Auburn-Georgia, the oldest rivalry in the Deep South. And you can enhance that even more in the fact that it's Georgia coming in as a two-time defending national champion. And no team has dominated Auburn like Georgia has of late. That's been Auburn's biggest struggle year in and year out for quite some time now, that Georgia program. That will be an enormous game. The two road games going in, though, Cal, just because it's your first road game and you're going cross-country and you've got a lot of new guys that are going to be going cross-country and playing in front of a hostile atmosphere in Berkeley in that first road game. And then you go to Texas A&M, and what do you expect from an offense that will have Bobby Petrino as the offensive coordinator with Jimbo Fisher? How does that mesh? That'll be very interesting to see. And the best recruiting classes the last couple of years have been at Texas A&M. Do we see those recruiting classes come to fruition on the field in front of over 100,000 at Kyle Field down at Texas A&M? So, yeah, that the Georgia game at the end of September is an enormous game. It's a big game regardless of where it is in the schedule and where it is, whether you're playing at Jordan-Hare or whether you're playing at Sanford Stadium. But those two road games going in, those are the two that have my attention at this point.
How has the QB race clarified or maybe muddied over the last few days or weeks?
Yeah, it has not clarified. listening to Hugh Freeze, Auburn scrimmaged on Saturday. And Hugh told us after the scrimmage that he had his mind made up until the scrimmage. And he wanted to go back and look at film. Whether it was Peyton Thorne, transfer from Michigan State, there's another one of the transfers I was talking about. Whether it's Robbie Ashford, who at the end of last season was Auburn's QB1, or whether it's Holden Gurner, who is a redshirt freshman out of Savannah, Georgia, and was a state champion. And so, and all three are different kinds of quarterback. Now, who made the most move on Saturday? Anyone's guess at this point. Both Gurner and Ashford threw touchdown passes in the scrimmage on Saturday. Thorne did not. But Hugh Freeze said his mind was made up going into the scrimmage, and he wanted to go back and look at film before he declares who he believes is a number one quarterback. He wants to do that shortly and then concentrate on that first and second string quarterback as Auburn gets ready. Classes start here Wednesday, so the fall camp is about to end, and then they'll get into the rhythm of practicing while they're going to class as well.
You've been part of the Auburn broadcast team for a long time. You've been around college football and college athletics for a long, long time. I'd love to get your sense of realignment and how you feel about the sport and what we've seen over the last 2 weeks.
I'm not sure any of us could have envisioned this 10 years ago. A USC or UCLA being part of the Big Ten, or Oregon or Washington being part of the Big Ten. 10 years ago, that was preposterous to think of it. It started, really, this latest round started with Texas and Oklahoma during SEC football media days a couple of years ago. It literally broke while Greg Sankey was doing interviews on Radio Row. And that's what started all of this. Could we have ever envisioned the Pac-12 dissolving at this point? I mean, to think that this is happening is remarkable. I think the SEC feels good where it is right now. I think the SEC feels good in the fact that it feels it doesn't have to make a move as far as realignment is concerned. Doesn't mean it's not going to happen. But, you know, with the Big 12, what it appears, going away, the ACC thinking about trying to get a Stanford into the ACC, although it sounds like they're voting that down right now, and Florida State and Clemson saying we need more money or we're bolting at this point. I don't know what to make of the realignment at this point, but I'm glad that Auburn's in the SEC, and that appears to be very stable at this point. And the biggest winner coming out of this right now is you know, the guys at Kansas and that group at this point with getting Arizona and Arizona State and Utah. So goodness, that's my thought on alignment right now.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah. It's a perplexing time for everybody that's observed college football for a long time. As you said, 10 years ago, this would have been unthinkable. And yet today it feels totally like anything is in play. Like you have to,
exactly.
You have to prepare for absolutely any iteration, and you can't even be surprised by it anymore, but it is still a very uncomfortable and destabilized feel around college football.
No question. I mean, the Big 12, to me, is that they're the ones that came out the big winner in the last month or so. And it seemed like the first domino to fall was Colorado moving from the Pac-12 to the Big 12. And then everything else is happening at this point. So it's a remarkable time. I'm not sure it's a great the way this is happening, but it is the reality of what is happening right now.
I think it's a good way to put it. It's a remarkable time. Not sure if it's good, but it's certainly a remarkable time to be watching college football unfold. Well, Auburn's got huge expectations now that they've got a new head coach and a renewed sense of optimism, and so the season's going to be fascinating. Andy Burcham is the voice of the Tigers, and he's kind enough to join us this morning here on the show. Andy, have a great call coming up to start the season, and hopefully we'll catch up during the year as well. I always appreciate our visits.
My pleasure, Damon. I look forward to talking with you again. Have a great day.
Right on. You too. Andy Burcham joining us this morning here on the program. Always good to talk some ball. College football, Sounds of Saturday, continue throughout this week with five more stories around college football that we are targeting with different programs around the sport. Standing by with a headline this morning is Emmanuel Barbari. Emmanuel, good morning.
Good morning, DA. James Harden's latest saga is running a little deeper, this time with a guy who's had his back in Sixers president Daryl Morey. Morey brought Harden in. He stuck with him the last year and a half and recently ended trade talks at the Clippers, which is where Harden reportedly wanted to go. But Harden, after planning to skip out on training camp, saying publicly during his China tour today, 2 days after those trade talks ended, quote, "Daryl Morey is a liar and I will never be part of an organization he's a part of." And Harden repeated himself, said it again, said it twice, this courtesy of Shams on Twitter. Harden was speaking to a crowd in China, now puts his situation with the Sixers even more in flux. Harden picked up his $35.5 million option in June with the expectation he'd be traded. So the Sixers didn't like what they were seeing in the package from the Clippers. And now Harden still wants out.
Ridiculous. He's just ridiculous.
Just incredible. Colts running back Jonathan Taylor expected to join the team in training camp this week. He initially reported to training camp, didn't play, recovering from that offseason ankle surgery. Then last week, he left the facility to continue his rehab out of state. Still doesn't want to be with the Colts. The contract situation up in the air, but Taylor is supposed to be at camp this week. Other running back news, as the Saints topped the Chiefs in preseason action yesterday, rookie running back Kendre Miller left the game with a knee injury. It's reportedly a sprained knee and the same one he injured back in December at the Fiesta Bowl. The Saints already shorthanded Alvin Kamara, that 3-game suspension. Miller had the chance to compete for some significant time. The injury has been called a sprain, and now he's set to undergo more testing. The injury news, also positives for the Saints, particularly with Derek Carr, looked strong in an opening touchdown drive.
Felt good. Felt efficient. It was nice to get a couple situations in there and get third down, you know, get some red zone and all that stuff. Because, again, they don't tell us, like, how much we're going to play and all that. So to get a couple situations in there and then, you know, throughout the game to talk through things with Pete and certain situations and things like that in a game time scenario.
Saints won at 26-24. Patrick Mahomes limited action early, 2-for-2, 15 yards. Baseball, Yankees haven't had a losing season in 31 years after a crushing loss in Miami, blowing a four-run lead in the bottom of the ninth
inning.
It's in jeopardy. Yankees lose 2 out of 3 to the Marlins. Jake Berger, the walk-off hit for Miami. So here's how much it's in jeopardy. Yankees are 60-58. With 44 games to play, can they turn it around?
We have to. We're going to play a great team tomorrow, and we got to be ready to go, period. So we know we got to rack up wins, and as tough as this one is to swallow, you got to move on from it.
Doesn't get easier.
31 years, so 92?
92, they won 76 games. No losing season since then.
Wow. They haven't had a losing season since 30 years ago, since the early 90s,
right.
And now they're only 2 games over .500.
44 to play, and as Aaron Boone said, they're in Atlanta to face the best team in baseball, the Braves, beginning tonight. So can they win a game, or do they exit Atlanta 1 game under .500?
True,
that's very much in play.
Could be under. Wow, Pete the Body, how will you celebrate if the Yankees leave Atlanta sub .500?
Oh, that's a tough celebration. I mean, I love seeing Braves misery, but I mean, when the team
Yankees misery.
Yankees misery, but at the Braves' expense.
Wants 3 game ties.
Three ties.
I want an old rainout, so the whole week. Got it.
It's how the game's canceled. No postponement.
Right. It is the worst case scenario in both situations.
Well, speaking of that, Marlins come back on the Yankees. The Nationals did the Marlins one better. The Nationals rallied for 5 of the 9th, surged for 6 to shock the A's 8-7. Jeter Downs capped the bottom of the ninth inning rally with a walk-off single. Giants walked off the Rangers 3-2 in the 10th. Rookie Patrick Bailey with a game-winning 2-run homer. That after Logan Webb was pulled 1 out from a complete game shutout. The lead was relinquished, but Bailey made sure it wasn't a debilitating loss an inning later. Orioles in stunning fashion staved off the Mariners 5-3. Cedric Mullins off the bench in the 6th inning robbed a potential Ty France game-tying homer in the 9th. Then Seattle tied it on a Dominic Canzone homer 1 batter later, but Mullins and the Orioles had the last laugh. Go-ahead 2-run shot in the 10th inning for manager Brandon Hyde.
When he came down and pumped his fist, that was an amazing feeling in our dugout. He's just such a good player and such a great defender.
And as for that home run?
He didn't start the game, but he finished it, and it was amazing.
Not how you start, it's how you finish for the Orioles and Cedric Mullins. MLB investigating social media posts involving Rays star shortstop Wander Franco. The post would indicate he was dating a minor. Franco didn't play yesterday in the Rays' 9-2 loss to the Guardians. He's not traveling with the team to San Francisco. Rays release a statement. They're cooperating with the league and take the allegations seriously. Franco is an all-star this year, 22 years old, and he signed through 2032. And there are your headlines.
Oh, boy. Wander Franco's under contract longer than the ACC's TV deal.
Hi-oh. Wow.
All right, thank you, Emmanuel. Great job today.
Appreciate it.
When we come back on the show, advanced analytics. Do you know who Nathan Rourke is? And does Dan of Mechanicsburg have the job yet? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Analytics is just a term that's kind of thrown around a lot.
It's time now for the Mothership's Advanced Analytics.
A tendency to believe this final segment should be Nathan Rourke heavy after what happened in the first segment. There was a quarterback for the Jaguars. It looked like his number was 1-6 that bounced off 3 defenders and threw a strike for a touchdown, and I'm like, damn, Trevor Lawrence is awesome. And then I realized in my ear after Carlos with a K told me, oh, that's Nathan Rourke. So the question is, do you know who Nathan Rourke is? 65% of you said, who? 21% said, of course I did. And 14% said, isn't he Trevor Lawrence?
That was your vote.
That was my vote. Wait a second. Now, the data department tells us Nathan Rourke is a Canadian professional football quarterback for the Jaguars, who played for the BC Lions of the Canadian Football League, where he set the single-season record for completion percentage last year. Now, growing up, Nathan Rourke idolized Brett Favre. He was quoted by saying, my parents got me a highlight video of the 96 Packers, and I watched that instead of cartoons. Man, this is a man after my own heart. I knew I liked this guy. And finally, his younger brother, Curtis Rourke, plays QB for the Ohio Bobcats football team of the MAC, the same team Nathan played for. So how about that? Nathan Rourke was a Bobcat. Okay. Yeah, so, you know, I led off the show talking about the Ravens winning another preseason game. This dates all the way back to 2015, one of the craziest stats in sports. Randomly, the Ravens have not lost a preseason game since 2015. And then I very calmly, smoothly segued into how much I love this throw from Trevor Lawrence, bouncing off defenders and throwing a strike for the Jaguars. And I went on and on and on and on and on and on and on. Until the commercial break when Carlos with a K let me know, DA, that wasn't Trevor Lawrence. Here it is, your epic fail.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
Elsewhere in the preseason, did anybody else see that throw by Trevor Lawrence against the Cowboys?
No!
Ooh. Oh, that's not right.
And I've always felt like it was inevitable that this guy was going to be a sublime QB. Well, there was a play in Saturday's preseason game, which was a win for the Jaguars, 28-23.
No!
Where I'm not sure why you're playing Trevor Lawrence in the preseason. Frankly, I would rather see him not in there. But
either.
No!
He takes the snap. He goes back to pass. The Cowboys kind of collapse the pocket. Okay, so he's under duress. He's probably going to be sacked or throw it away.
No!
He rolls to his right, and he bounces off a would-be tackler. He then bounces off another, so he's broken two potential tackle slash sacks. And then as he's getting dragged down by a third, before his knee touches the ground, he's able to steady himself.
Really?
Plant his plant leg so that he actually has a base and fling it near sideline.
No!
Freaking throws a strike for a touchdown to Christian Kirk. And it's just an absolutely beautiful strike, I believe. Or maybe it was Zay Jones. I forget who it was.
My brain just sucks.
It is 6:23 in the morning. We've already wrapped up the epic fail. I got it done in the first segment. Carlos with a K, you can thank me later. This throw is amazing. I go on and on and on about Trevor Lawrence. I love Trevor Lawrence.
Hey, boys.
In my ear during the commercial break, Carlos with a K is like, that throw you're talking about? That's Nathan Rourke. Who the hell is Nathan Rourke?
You asked me if he looked like Trevor Lawrence, and I'm like, I'm trying to be nice, saying, yeah, sort of. He doesn't
does
remotely
he?
Like
does.
Nathan Rourke.
Somebody give him a starting job right now. The guy's amazing. Just a little note here on the immortal Nathan York.
So it's definitely Rourke.
What did I say?
York.
York? Oh, sorry.
Nathan Rourke hails from York. You just keep making this fail longer and longer, man.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
A tweeter by the name of Importer Exporter simply said, DA, that wasn't Trevor Lawrence who threw the pass that you spent 5 minutes talking about.
Thanks.
It's a good show. You should check it out.
This coming on the heels of intern Brooke being asked, okay, unpredictable person at CBS Sports Radio? And she said, DA, I think it was you. I said, oh, really? Yeah, because I never knew when you were actually at the office. You were never here.
All right. Rack up this show for 12 right. DAs.
Yeah. Boss has got to be really happy about today's show. DA, you spent the cold open talking about a player that wasn't on the field during the play that you dissected. And then the intern said she's never met you because you're never in the office. So
you have an incredible review coming up.
Can we have a talk?
What else is new?
I will tell you, I am super excited about this week because I love the cast of thousands. And so today, Emmanuel Barbari was doing our updates. Tomorrow, Caserta is in. It's always fun. I haven't seen Caserta in a long time because every time that I'm in, he's off. So that's going to be because Bogus is out all week long. We have a Chris Lopresti in here on Wednesday, which is great. Then a Boyle's coming in here on Thursday. Carlos with a K the entire week. And Pete the Body the entire week as well. So we will have
Hold on. Greg Caserta will be hosting for you on Friday.
Oh, and Caserta is actually hosting on a summer Friday.
Yes.
You're welcome,
okay.
Roxy.
Okay. All right. So yeah, we got a lot of goods coming up this week. So I'm excited to get going. I'm in studio the rest of the week, so I'm excited to see everybody. I'm sorry, Brooke, that this was your last day. If you'd like to come back for one more shift, I will be in the studio at some point the rest of the week. So maybe we can catch up then. If not, happy trails. I hope you had a wonderful internship and that we treated you well around here. My review for today's show from the superiors will be on my desk here shortly, and it'll be FFFFFF.
You big stack of paper.
DA, we need to talk. All right, thanks to Carlos Ortiz as your executive producer. Thanks to Pete the Body Bellotti on the Wheels of Steel. Thanks to Andrew Kaplan, the Wizard of Watch DA. Emmanuel Barbari on your headlines. And intern Brooke. I'm DA, the Mothership Disconnects.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.